Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacy Toth of PaleoParents.com and author of two paleo cookbooks. The first, Eat Like Dinosaur, kid-friendly gluten-free recipe and guidebook, and Beyond Bacon, recipes that respect the whole hog.
And I'm Sarah Ballantyne, also known as the Paleo Mom. I have a background in medical research, and I love to write approachable explanations of the whys behind the paleo diet. I'm also the author of two upcoming books, The Paleo Approach, which is a complete guide to managing autoimmune disease using diet and lifestyle, and the companion guide, The Paleo Approach Cookbook.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up, and you get to listen to our gossip. Just going so good. I am on vacation. How are you?
Well, I'm here. How's that for like contrast? I have had like one of the busiest, most draining vacations ever. So I'm ready to get back to work so I don't have to be on this vacation anymore. Because this vacation's been not so fun.
So I'm sorry your vacation sucks.
Well, we had to put our cat down last week. And that was, I mean, even though he was sick for a long time and he was very old, we had lots of warning that this was coming. It was not easy. And then we already talked about the mold thing. And then it's just very busy and stressful, and I've been sick again, and it's just been one of those weeks.
All right. I did see something that was really positive in your newsletter. You're going to start lifting heavy things. Super excited about that.
One of the things that's happened over the last, gradually over the last few months is that the amount of time that I have been dedicating to like actual exercise rather than just, you know, active, like working at the tread desk or something, has been decreasing, and I've been feeling it. And so I knew that it was, you know, recommitting now has more to do with the fact that, well, now I'm, you know, starting to actually feel energetic after getting the book to the printer, but it also happens to be New Year's, so might as well make it a New Year's resolution. But the awesome thing is that I have actually managed to talk my husband into joining me, and he doesn't exercise. So, unless you count mowing the lawn. And so, so he's been starting to do some like murmuring that he might be interested in doing something like every once in a while for the last few months. And I broached the subject with him, like, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going to fit into my schedule right now. And there's these strength training classes that I've been to the class before. I know it's a pretty good class. It's not the most exciting, but it feels good, and it's a nice full body workout. And the it's sort of a high rep, low weight, but it's also a pyramid system. So I know that that works really well for me, that that builds, you know, nice lean muscle, but that it also isn't overly strenuous. And for me right now, still recovering from submitting the book, keeping it not overly strenuous is really important. And we kind of talked about CrossFit and just felt like, you know, there's a lot that we find really intriguing about CrossFit, but I know that that would be too intense for me right now. So so I started talking to my husband about this particular class, and it would actually work with his work schedule to go. So I managed to rope him into committing to doing these three strength training workouts a week. And then the idea is that for, we'll start with going to this particular class three times a week. But what I've also told him is that I want to find a personal trainer who can actually, you know, teach us how to lift heavy and add, you know, high weight, low rep type stuff once a week on top of this class, but who can show us how to do it properly with proper form and make sure we don't injure ourselves and make sure they spot us correctly and that we're doing it correctly. And that I want to add that in as well. So, and my husband's like totally game. I think he's going to love it because I don't think he's ever in his adult life done strength training. He's more of a, you know, when he gets into sort of exercise kicks, he's more of a cardio buff. So I think that I think he's really going to enjoy like actually having muscles. This is just my hypothesis and time will tell. But yeah, I think for me right now, this is what makes sense is, and it, you know, fits into my schedule really well. And I'm excited about, you know, carving out more time again for healthy things. Like healthy things.
Well, I like having muscles.
I like your muscles. You've got some really beautiful muscles. If I could have muscles half that beautiful, I'd be happy.
Oh, that's so sweet. I wish I could see myself that way, but I can't take a compliment. So, thank you.
Wow. You have, like, the most beautiful shoulders.
Oh.
You like your shoulders. Come on.
I was able to do not like, you know, beautiful CrossFit games, but I was able to do handstand push-ups in the WOD today, and there were no other girls who did them, and I was totally proud, and that's all shoulder. So, well,
that
not
is
all
awesome.
Shoulder, but, yeah.
Well, that's some serious, that's whole upper body and core.
Yeah.
And
because this body ain't 120 pounds, so
no.
If I can get it down and get it back up and hold it up, it's a big deal.
So. I really want to, I don't like setting New Year's resolutions that are goals. I like to address the habits that will naturally help reach the goals. So it's not a resolution, but I would really like to be able to do pull-ups by the end of 2014, like real ones.
Good luck with that. I've been CrossFitting for a year, and I'm nowhere near a pull-up, so I'll be super-duper impressed if you get there. Although, Courtney and Amy can do pull-ups. I just, for me, it's like the muscle group that's the absolute weakest in my body, for sure. So
I spent some time earlier this year where I was, like, really excited about getting to do pull-ups, and I got to the point where I could sort of jump up and then very, very slowly lower myself down, but I couldn't really, you know, to the part where that is the pull and then up.
It was more that is a movement, you're aware, right? It's not a drop down, it's called a pull up.
but it's, you know, it's very similar muscles doing the controlled down versus the pull up. So that was as far as I got. I don't know if it'll happen. That's why it's not a resolution to like do a pull up.
One of the things that I asked for Christmas that I didn't get that I will be buying for myself very shortly is bands, because we have a pull-up bar from, like, I think last Christmas I got it for Matt, and when I, like, walk through that doorway, do what you're saying, like, I jump up and I hold it for as long as I can, which is, like, a nanosecond, and then I slowly lower myself down, and I have seen improvement, like, from, you know, when I started doing it or whatever, but
from a picosecond to a nanosecond.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So I would like to get some bands. I don't know if you know what those are, but they're just giant rubber bands.
I do. Do you know what I use in lieu of bands? Old karate belts that are just wrapped around so that I could do body rows on my pull-up bar that I bought my husband and he never uses, and I'm the one who uses it.
We started watching this show called House of Cards. I'm so
oh my God. Okay. Whoa. That is so, it is paused upstairs until we finish recording right now, because we just started watching this like 3 days ago.
We just started watching it like this week too.
Oh my gosh, we watched something and it's the same and we're doing it at the same time. And I'm assuming that you also like it,
yes.
But I would not be able to comment.
Right. So it's really, really great show. We're only 3 episodes in because we just started watching it and I don't have a lot of free time.
I believe episode 5 is paused upstairs. Mm.
So when they got him the rower, which is what started me thinking of this, like, I totally, when he was like, oh, I'm not going to row in that, I'm like, I'll take your rower. That's like a really cool rower. I would love to have a rower in the house. I think if I were going to buy something, like, we have the pull-up bar, and for Christmas I got a jump rope and a foam roller, and I want bands. But beyond that, like, if I were going to buy something for the house, it would definitely be a rower. I mean, I have a trad desk, so I guess that kind of counts, but it's,
do you,
it doesn't
do
really.
You do, rowing's sort of like a standard part of CrossFit, right? Like it's included?
It's no more standard than like jump ropes or box jumps. Like it's a standard movement, but it's not something that we do even every week. Yeah.
Okay.
I just, like, it's often an option for warm up, like run around the building, jump rope, you know, row, like everybody has a choice on what they can do, burpees, you know, like something for a short amount of time just to get your body warm before you get started. And my favorite's rowing, but because it's my favorite, I try not to choose it as much. But, you know what I mean? Cause like,
yeah, no, I know. Cause you want to challenge yourself.
Exactly. So
can I tell you a funny aside story?
This is an aside of an aside. So go ahead.
Okay. So as my husband and I were trying to figure out like exactly what we were going to do when we were looking into CrossFit, I looked on the website of like the closest box to me, and they had their Christmas Eve WOD, you know, up on the site, and it was just like a photo of their like whiteboard where they had it written. And so I was like, oh, I'm interested to, you know, see what was part of their WOD, because I know a little bit about what kind of goes on in CrossFit. So I started reading it, and I was like, oh, wow, that sounds intense. Wow, you do that all three times. Yeah, that sounds like a really good workout. WOD. And then I read the WOD, and then I realized the thing I was thinking was like a pretty good workout was the warm up. And then I was like, you know, I think maybe I should save CrossFit for like after the second book is done.
Oh, that's so epic.
I was like, so just yeah, wow, fair. Man, this sounds pretty good. Holy, three times. Yeah, wow, good circuit. That's the warm up.
So to be fair to CrossFit, usually on holidays, there is an particularly intense WOD. So that might, I don't know what the WOD was, but it was probably like, if it was Christmas.
You know, I didn't even keep reading. Once I figured out that the warm-up was not the WOD and it was the warm-up, I was like, I can't do that. I was like, I need to build a better base strength before I do that to my body, because seriously, the warm-up.
No, I think that's really smart that you know that, because like, I think everybody knows, because I've talked about it, like, I didn't start CrossFit until I had like really felt ready to do it. But at the same time, I think a lot of people not in your health condition use not being fit as an excuse to not start.
Oh yeah, true.
So
yeah.
I think it's a fair opportunity to kind of say there is a big difference between like having adrenal fatigue or having an autoimmune flare or having a health condition that is impacted by immune stressors or any stressors on your body, and exercise is a stressor on your body. Extensive exercise like CrossFit would be. And therefore, it's not a great idea to start or to continue a really intense marathon running, CrossFit, whatever it is, exercise routine when you're having health issues. On the other hand, I hear from people almost every day that they would like to start CrossFit, but that they're not fit enough. So they're going to start a different exercise program as like their prep before they start CrossFit. Like, I'm going to do this other thing for a few months and then I'm going to start CrossFit. And of the people that I know that have said that, nobody's actually ever started CrossFit. They've never stuck with the routine that they said they were going to do. Like, it is oftentimes what I would call a cop-out. And
there's definitely a big difference between using that as an excuse to never go there and actually having like a plan in place and following through with the plan. I'm kind of one of those, I have a really good track record for following through with my plans. But I still like, for me, I'm having an autoimmune flare. I'm in adrenal fatigue. My immune system is the pits right now because I'm on my like third cold since I submitted the book a month ago. And I know that I find it very intriguing. I think I would really love it, but I know it would wreck me right now. So, you know, I think it's a fine line between copping out and being really like functionally self-aware. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So, I haven't been going a lot this month and it sucks. Like, I've just got really busy at work, and then Thanksgiving and
Christmas
and then I got sick. Remember, I got really sick. I had the upper respiratory infection and bronchitis.
I sure do, yeah.
Weeks, and I went, like, once a week during that period, and each time I'd go, I'd be like, nope, not ready to go back. Can't breathe. fluid in my lungs. So I just started, like, getting trying to get back into a routine and have been a couple of times in the last week, which has been really awesome. It does wonderful things for my mood. It is just amazing how much physical activity helps regulate my hormones. And I mean, I know a lot of it's endorphins and stuff, but it's also just...
Don't dis endorphins. Don't dismiss them. They're awesome.
I know, but like it's really, really, really feels good. So I don't think that everybody has to do CrossFit, but I have just seen such an improvement in like myself, in my health, in my mood and all that stuff. Like when I'm regularly exercising, that I just want everyone to be physically active. And whether that's walking around your neighborhood, like I used to take walks with Finn and get the same or a similar kind of result. Like it doesn't have to be, you know, extensive.
Well, I get that same, you know, that same high from a yoga class or from a walk or a hike. And I especially find, well, yoga is awesome and it's just works really well for me. But especially if I can do something outdoors, whether that's going for a run or a hike or just, you know, a walk or even like playing really physically with my kids in the backyard, you know, I get that same kind of high. And I think that, I think really, you know, if your goal is health, it doesn't matter what activity you're doing as long as you're doing an activity. Like it really just, if you're moving your body weight around, you're going to have really tremendous health benefits. And when we talk about, you know, the difference between, you know, just going for walks every day versus doing CrossFit 3 or 4 or 5 times a week, I mean, the difference there is really how elite do you want to be in your fitness and how big do you want your muscles to be? And it becomes, you know, the goal is more than just, you know, what to do to be healthy. Then it becomes something that's a little bit more, I don't know, I'm having a hard time finding a word. You got a word for me?
You're trying to say vain, but in a nice way?
Well, no, it wasn't. I know I wasn't going there. I was trying to say, that it's like a hobby rather than a necessity. A hobby's not quite the right word.
Yeah, I would say that there is definite like levels to fitness that can be better for you. Like for me in particular, I really enjoy lifting heavy, and I think that lifting weights is really important in ways that women don't understand. And I think that, you know, yoga and body weight activity can count towards that, but there has to be some sort of weight being lifted. And I think the unfortunate thing for women is that they've been like regulated to this section of exercise that they think is for them, like aerobics and Zumba and walking. And they don't think strength training, circuit, weightlifting, which is really, really unfortunate because I don't think that it is non-causal that women also have a much higher rate of osteoporosis than men. And, you know, one of the things that is really powerful about weights is that it really helps with bone density and is a significant contributor to health. So I think in one aspect, you know, I hear what you're saying, definitely, you know, nobody needs to be extremely toned and ripped and have muscles defined and that like Brad Pitt, you know, Fight Club, look good naked. Like nobody needs that. And oftentimes that can lead to health detriment. We've talked about that a lot, but I think that there is something to be said for, you know, making an effort to task your body to where it is a little less than comfortable, but not unhealthy, so that you can have fitness. Like, I think the word that I would use to describe what you were trying to say is like fitness. You know, it's one thing to move your body and to exercise, and that's awesome. And I think that's a really good place for a lot of people to start and to be proud of themselves. But I've reached a point where I would like to be fit. You know, I would like to, like, for example, when my child runs away, like Wesley is in this phase because all of my children are prone to like ADD, ADHD behavior because that's where their genetics are. And he is just a wanderer. Like, he just gets really, he's just in this phase where he's immersed in what he's looking at, and he thinks nothing of what he should be doing. And so we went to a Christmas tree farm, and he just got really enamored with whatever it was that he was watching and looking at, and started like running in the middle of the street. You know, he's a tiny kid. He's tiny. Middle of the street. And like, by the time Matt and I were like, where's Wesley? He was at least, I don't know, probably quarter miles in exaggeration, but he was pretty far. He was like really, wow. You know, he was like almost all out of sight. Like, he was so far. And I just literally dropped what I was holding and sprinted after him. And I was able to do that. And I think that's like what I really want to do, is like, it didn't occur to me until I had gotten him and was bringing him back. And Matt looked at me and he was like, you just totally sprinted really far. I was like, well, it needed to be done. Like, our child was
that,
in danger.
That is very functional,
right?
Fitness. And I think that is definitely something that is a very worthy goal for anybody, to be able to be fit enough that you can rescue your child who's running down the middle of the street. It was one of the things that really stuck out for me in Dean Dwyer's book, was his recommendations of the goal of fitness is to be able to rescue somebody. And I always kind of liked that that idea, that, you know, being fit enough that you could actually, you know, save somebody's life if you needed to. And that idea is always, that I'm totally not, I totally couldn't. Oh, I could rescue my kid who was running down the street in the middle of the street. But I don't think I could like pull somebody off of a ledge. I don't know. I bet you could.
Yeah, I can. I can carry Matt up the stairs. I practice.
That's awesome.
So, I am super excited that you're going to start working out, and we've spent a ton of time talking about it.
And I've dragged my husband along. I mean, this is for me is the most exciting part. For me, it just feels like, you know, I'm just, because my schedule has changed so much, and it was a question of finding what works in my schedule, and this will work, and I will enjoy it. For me, it's just sort of like a recommit. But for my husband, it's like brand new. And I'm like really excited, and really excited that this is like a team effort that we're doing together, because we've never done that before. We've never exercised together. Well, okay, like 2 weeks when I used to run marathons in my early 20s, he ran with me, and then he hurt his knee, and that was it.
Well, it's a lot easier to stick to a habit when you have a buddy to do it with. So
yeah.
I think that's definitely
I think we're the kind of buddies that will drive each other. And we both have competitive streaks, so it'll probably actually drive us to work out really hard as well, compared to the kind of buddy who, you know, oh, yeah, let's sleep in today instead. I don't think we'll do that. Well, we have kids. We have kids, so we really can't. They have to go to school. Oh, well.
So I have kind of a special announcement before we get into a show, but I do want to tell people, don't freak out. We don't have like some crazy topic planned. We did promise you we were going to get back into paleo philosophies. And so this week, after a bit of blood sugar geek out last week, which, by the way, I had someone comment on my blog that like that was their favorite episode and they loved your geeking out on blood sugar, by the way.
did I geek out?
Yeah, they were like super enamored with your geekdom. I should have forwarded you the comment, but
I am kind of a geek, so geeky, yes. Geeky stuff is kind of what I do.
So instead of geeking out again, we are going to do a bit of a soapbox episode and do Paleo Philosophies 5. So this is kind of consistent with what we do. We're talking a little bit about like our personal lives.
But I think we've already been a little philosophical.
Right. Well, that's
so
the
far.
Thing is, yeah. I think we're trying to relate it to, you know, how it could affect other people and not just entirely about our own selfish lives. So, but I have kind of an announcement that I thought.
I want to hear it. Get to it. Come on. Let's go.
I haven't discussed this at all anywhere. So this is the first time that it's kind of being leaked, because I wasn't really sure that it was going to happen or when it was going to happen. But we've been working on an ebook for over a year, and it looks like it's finally going to happen in the beginning of the new year, probably like days after this episode airs. We're shooting for January 7th, but there's a lot of things that need to go into it being ready. So if not, very shortly after. And I know that there's a lot of books and a lot of ebooks available in the community, but one of the things that we get asked over and over and over and over again on this podcast and on our blog and when I do speaking events, everyone wants to know how to apply it practically. They want to know, okay, I get it. There's so many books, great books and resources online about why paleo is great, but they want to know how can they do it in their real life. So we have written an ebook called Three-Phase Paleo that we outline, you know, what works for us, and what we get a lot of feedback from people telling us what works for them, which is to really have kind of a phased approach with your family to figure out, you know, what to do in what steps and what order. And we're going to have probably about 75 recipes in the book so that you can mirror the recipes in certain steps. So like if you're in the first phase, which is the most basic phase, right? Basically like don't eat gluten, try to start getting rid of the things in your pantry, just very basic kind of things that we talk about on the show. And we'll have some, you know, food replacement recipes for that. Like that's where your cookies and your breads and your nut cereals and that kind of thing come in. And then we'll talk about phase two, where you really kind of start to take it more seriously. And, you know, how do you apply paleo to a family? What kind of foods do you feed your family? And how do you, you know, shop? How do you do that whole thing? And then the third phase, which I'm in, Sarah's in, we talk a lot about, which is, we're calling it heal, but really it's just the nutrient density phase, where you start focusing on, okay, what things do I start adding to my diet that are the most nutrient dense, and how do I live the most healthful life possible? Because I think a lot of people listen to our podcast, or they see our blog, or they talk to us or whatever, and they think, oh, if I go paleo, I have to do what Stacey and Sarah are doing.
Oh no, I can't do paleo if I don't eat liver.
Right. But if you go back to like the first few weeks of our podcast, which is even like a year ago, and Sarah and I had been paleo for, I think, a year for you, 2 years for me, whatever it was, we were at much different places then than we mm-hmm. are now. And so I just, you know, it's hard to explain to someone like baby steps, you know, just literally do it one step at a time is what we've been telling people. So we've literally written an ebook that outlines that, and we're calling it Three Phases. And within each phase, we have recommendations for what we think the priorities for each things are. And then if you follow them, whether it takes you 30 days or a year to complete one phase, then when you're ready at your pace with your family and your needs, then you move to the next phase, and you can pick, you know, certain things from each phase of what you think is most valuable to your family. So we're working on putting the final touches on that. We've never done anything like this before. We have a pamphlet on our website right now, and that will be going away. That has been a free resource on our website for almost 3 years. So we're going to integrate some of the material that's in that will go into the ebook, but that's only like 20 pages. And the ebook is going to be probably like 100 pages.
Wow.
So it's not insignificant. I mean, there's like, a lot of that's recipes, right? Like there's 75 recipes. But there's definitely a lot of material, shopping lists, recommendations of things that we buy certain places that we think, you know, are good ideas. Like if you have a Costco or a BJ's membership, things that we buy there versus things that we order on Amazon versus things that we buy at the local grocery store. And how do we, you know, make it reasonable for us to be a family living this lifestyle? Because we know it's not easy, but we really wanted to write a book to show people that it can be done. And I feel like Eat Like a Dinosaur, does that somewhat. Like it talks about the lifestyle aspects and mm-hmm. it talks about recipes, but it does it for kids. Like that book was written for children. It literally was like, what can we do to make this book for children? And so this book is definitely, it's a cross between Eat Like a Dinosaur and Beyond Bacon. Sarah, you've seen the cover. We tried to literally blend the two styles. If you think that that might not be possible, we actually feel like we did, because it's for families. So this book is definitely kid friendly, but it's for parents or for adults to kind of look at, okay, how do I apply this to my personal lifestyle? So I can't believe I just put it out there. That means we've got to finish it up.
You have to do it.
I know.
Your deadline is now a firm deadline, except that people will understand if it's a couple days late.
Yeah. The thing is, I mean, this is totally self-imposed. So, we want it to be right when it does go out. But at the same time, it's been really overwhelming for us the last few weeks to be working on two books at the same time. We're working on our third cookbook, which I think everybody knows. And we can't really focus on getting that cover finalized and sharing that with everybody and getting it up on Amazon so that we can talk more about that, because we need to finish this ebook. And I have a full-time job and Matt has to take care of a house and three kids. And so there just is not, that's part of the reason that I haven't been working out either, is just because there's so much going on in our lives. And one of my resolutions last year, and it will be another resolution going forward, like you said, it's a lifestyle thing, is really managing stress and managing workload in my life. And I have come to the conclusion that having this burden of this ebook out there in the nethers for the last year has been really stressful and overwhelming for me, that we haven't, done it. And I know that it needs to be done and I want to do it and get it out there for people. But at the same time, it's been overwhelming to constantly be feeling instead of watching House of Cards, I should be working on that. Instead of giving myself, 1 hour a day to just relax, which is also really important for my health. So,
especially when it's House of Cards. I can't believe we watched the same show. Every time we've talked about television shows at any time in the past, for anyone who's a new listener,
no idea.
We have zero overlap in what we watch, so much so that we can't even relate to I've never even heard of that television show that you're watching. And so now we have overlap.
Cool. So I'm just going to take a deep breath here and can't believe.
So I just wanted to say, I'm really excited. I've only seen the cover. I haven't seen inside the book, but I know you guys are going to knock it out of the park because that's what you do. But I'm kind of the same type of person where having things on my to-do list will eventually sort of weigh me down so much so that it's actually less stressful for me to commit time to work to get check those things off my to-do list than it is to take time off and relax. And that's just something. That was a hard lesson for me to learn about myself. But yeah, I could completely relate to that.
Cool. So three-phase paleo will be released on our blog this month. In January when this podcast goes live. And hopefully it will be in the near future. If not, it's because we're trying to get it super perfect. And we will definitely provide updates to people for free once you buy the ebook. We will not be putting it in any sort of bundle in the near future. So don't, if you're interested in it, don't wait thinking it'll be included in a bundle or something. And we will have, a sale for it to launch. And then it will go to just becoming a regular standard thing on our site. And we'll have relationships with other people that are bloggers or whatever that might enjoy it and want to review it or whatever. But it's at this point, the idea of putting it up on Amazon or turning it into an actual book, none of that stuff is there for us yet. We're pretty overwhelmed with just the idea of putting it together and putting it out there on the site at the moment. So that might
maybe
be something
maybe
we get to,
also but finish real book number three before making ebook into real book number four.
Right.
So an exactly. idea.
That's my point, is I will feel satisfied making it available for people. And I know that what's going to happen, because we're both bloggers and we know what's going to happen, is people are going to want to know, that doesn't work for me, give it to me in another format. And unfortunately, that's just, it is what it is. And for the time being, that's what we can offer. And I feel very comfortable providing a resource that I feel good about in a format that I know how to get to people. And, you know, I've heard kind of mixed reviews on going through Amazon and getting it up through there, and how much money they take. Like, they take 60%. It's crazy. So it's just not something that we're ready to, like, look at or tackle or deal with right now. And we would much rather offer people a reasonable price on the ebook, where we know, like, we're getting the work that we put into it back. Because we've had to hire people to help us, obviously, to put together a whole book. So, yeah, that's what I got. I'm super stoked, but I'm also really nervous. We've never done anything like this before. I think I've said that like 8 times, but, you know, I think most people start with like a little ebook, so they don't feel so nervous about it. And then they graduate to like big books. But, you know, when you have 50,000 Facebook followers and a pretty good blog traffic, putting something out there and not having like a professional publisher or somebody behind you that's already reviewed it and done market research and like whatever, it makes me a little nervous. So, I'm just really grateful that I have, you know, Sarah and other friends that are willing to take a look at it before it goes live to make sure that we're not going to, you know, make
fools of ourselves.
We'll tell
you if it's terrible. We'll tell you. I'm sure it won't be, but if it is, we'll tell you.
But you saw the cover and you didn't think the cover was terrible, so that's a start.
I thought the cover was beautiful.
Thanks.
Especially the third or fourth version of the cover.
To be fair, it was only like minor tweaks that we were doing. So, all right. I think I'm ready.
You're ready to actually do like
oh my gosh, that show. Is just like a huge, whew, crazy.
That is like the biggest news and views segment in like at least 3 weeks.
I know, that's crazy, and now I'm like, I feel like I just had an emotional dump like right here on the desk. Oh, that word was not the right word. An emotional release. sorry,
See,
I live with 8-year-old
boys.
That'd
be a great blooper, except I'm sure Matt is going to leave that in the show.
So that was quite an emotional release for me. I feel like I need to like have a fan. I would reference Christina Aguilera on The Voice as fan, but you wouldn't know what that was. So
no, because I'm old.
Yeah, if you're old, I'm almost old. So, what are we going to talk about tonight on our soapboxes?
Questions and Answers, where we answer questions submitted by you through the contact form on our websites, paleomom.com and paleoparents.com.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Well, I think because it's New Year's, we should actually maybe talk about things like paleo perfectionism and the 80-20 rule, especially as people are, you know, maybe tackling paleo challenges, maybe, you know, jumping into paleo for the first time and, you know, really confused about, you know, all of the different philosophies, different recommendations, the different versions of paleo that are out there. You know, I think this would be an excellent point to sort of refer people to our Paleo 101 series that we did. Was that a year ago? A little over a year ago?
I think so, yeah.
Where we sort of talk about the basics of what is paleo, but I think this is sort of the extension of, you know, what is basic paleo to where does wanting to eat a healthy diet become orthorexia? These attitudes within the sort of, I guess it's more like the fringe of the paleo movement, but that can be very intimidating for people, especially who are just trying to navigate their way in this whole paleo diet thing. So I thought, you know, being that it's New Year's resolutions time and this is going to be kind of on people's minds as they try and figure out exactly what a paleo diet is, now that there's so many different resources and they don't all necessarily say the same thing, that would be a really great topic. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm totally down. I think we should also give a warning to say that I will speak for myself in that I believe we're kind of the black sheep on the, you know, clean eating do paleo right, I'm using quotation marks when I say that, side of the house. So, you know, full disclosure, we are completely biased
in our beliefs. We tend to believe that it has to be sustainable in order to work. And if you are implementing a paleo diet in one of these extreme ways, I mean, that certainly can work for many people. But, you know, in our experience raising families and with young kids who leave the house from time to time, that finding balance and sustainability is actually more important than how strict you are from, you know, meal to meal.
And I would also like to take the opportunity to remind people, as we've said many times before, that, you know, I happen to personally know quite a few of the people in the paleo movement that people look at as ultimate gurus and leaders. And, you know, I'm not just talking about food bloggers. I'm talking about all kinds of leaders. And all of those people who make it a lifestyle even talk themselves publicly, not just personally, about how they themselves are not paleo perfectionists. And I think, you know, Mark from Mark's Daily Apple Primal Blueprint kind of coined the term 80-20. And I think Chris Kresser calls it personal paleo. And, you know, Rob calls it do it strict for 30 days and then eat what makes you feel good. But every single one of them talks about, you know, finding the things that make you feel good and get your body healthy for whatever, you know, amount of time that is. And then they talk about how to incorporate that into a lifestyle. And I think for Sarah and I, in particular with families, there are certain things about our lifestyle and making this palatable for our children in a way that doesn't make them socially abnormal, that gives us a different viewpoint than, you know, someone who is young and who's been fit their whole life and thinks about it for performance and CrossFit only. You know, they're just a completely different mindset, and neither one is wrong. There's just different. And so I think it's important that we clarify where we're, you know, where we're coming from and where our bias lies.
Should we, because I know we could get really deep into this conversation, should we, now that we've introduced our bias, should we maybe define what we mean by paleo perfectionism? Because that might not be a term that people have heard or that means the same just hearing those words together as what we're talking about.
Sure. So you want me to do it?
Well, I was kind of tossing it over
obviously,
to you, but
you were like, I love it when you're like, should we, blah, 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 blah. Like,
blah, blah, blah. Oh,
this is you leading me to do that. Okay.
Okay. Well, if you want, I am happy to do it. I know that you're going to reference Diane's post on paleo perfectionism,
yes,
but let's also define it here so we can be,
yes,
you know, self-contained.
And I think Diane spoke for a lot of the community in writing that post. So, you know, check it out if you're looking for more information or you want to refer somebody to something in writing rather than this podcast. But I think, you know, paleo perfectionists for me are also people that sometimes are called paleo police. They're the people that, you know, believe that you shouldn't call yourself paleo if you're not doing it 100% all the time. And 100% probably to them is kind of the original, perhaps Lauren Cordain definition of paleo, and not kind of the newer adaptations that have been incorporated through scientific research and newer information. So for things like white potatoes and white rice and full fat grass fed dairy.
Lauren Cordain even came down pretty hard on other starchy tubers in the original version of the paleo diet and on saturated fat. And, you know, advocated lean meats because he was assuming that people wouldn't bother to source quality meats.
Yeah.
So,
and a
you
lot
know,
of that even, well, this is an aside, but like a lot of that Lauren Cordain himself has even said he doesn't support anymore. And the newer mm-hmm. editions of the paleo diet don't include a lot of that stuff anymore. Like the, I think in the original version that I checked out from the library, I think I specifically remember canola oil being okay, but and Diet Coke being okay. Like the
I didn't know about Diet Coke. Definitely canola oil was something that he endorsed in the first edition and retracted for the revised edition. Yeah.
So, what I think of today as someone who's a paleo perfectionist is someone that you would have in your life who, you know, if you were eating something that wasn't 100% paleo, either it had, you know, dairy or it had...
Or it was a mango because mangoes are too high sugar.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Right? Exactly. Like, that's so ridiculous that I'm rolling my eyes. But that's exactly that what a paleo perfectionist
or is. That it's conventionally raised meat and it's not grass-fed. I mean, these are
it's
all things...
It's non-organic. It's...
Right.
You know, they're...
And let's not even get to a cookie made with almond flour. Right. Like, would be crazy.
We're talking about the excessive degree to which, yes, if you are able to eat that way... you will be helping your body, nourishing your body, and doing great things. But that for 99% of the population, people cannot practically and affordably do a lifestyle that is within whatever parameters they think is correct. And that's, you know, part of what's really frustrating for people, for me, for people that I know about that, is that those definitions that they're using are like arbitrarily made by someone somewhere and don't even like necessarily make any sense for them or for who they're talking to. You know, the idea that a CrossFitter needs a completely different nutritional profile than, you know, an older woman who's retired and sits at home all day. Like, there is a spectrum here of, you know, what healthy looks like and should look like for each person. Someone who's been, you know, a professional athlete their whole life and is a CrossFit Games competitor is completely different from someone who is morbidly obese and transitioning to paleo to help themselves gain health and as a result lose weight because they're going paleo. Like, those two people's diets and the nutritional profile they need are completely different. And, you know, the idea that there is one paleo that everyone should follow is really an old idea that's not only non-applicable, but it's really frustrating. And frustrating is the nice word that I'm using here. You know, it's Bill Staley was here from Primal Palette for Halloween, and his costume was Paleo Police. And, you know, there was a lot of buzz in social media about it, but for the most part, people thought he was spot on because he had taken, like, posters of us and been, like, you know, contributing to the delinquency of minors with Neolithic food replication. Like, that is something that, like, has actually been said. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny only because time has passed and we've been able to kind of remove ourselves from that. But,
yeah.
You know, I just think when I talk about paleo perfectionists, I can't even define what it is because each one you talk to has like a different set of arbitrary rules that they've defined for themselves. Some say like autoimmune paleo. Like, I saw someone once say that bell peppers weren't paleo. And I was like, okay, let me just explain this to you. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that everyone should be eating them. But what you're referring to is actually called the autoimmune protocol of paleo diet, and it's not necessary for everybody. And bell peppers are really rich in a lot of vitamins and minerals, and if you don't have any problems with them, they're a great source of food. Like, it's just ridiculous to
me. It's like one of the highest food sources of vitamin C.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I mean, I can't eat them.
Right.
Because I have an autoimmune disease.
And you can't eat them, but I used to love them, and I would totally eat them if they didn't give me inflammation. So, but that doesn't mean that Matt can't eat them because he can eat them and he does and they're great and he's still paleo. And so that brings me to the second part of paleo perfectionism, which is kind of where Mark Sisson goes with it, which is to say that just because you make some choices sometimes that some people call cheats, some people call treats, I try to use the word choice, whatever it is, you are knowingly doing something that is not the best for you, but you do it anyway because you want to or because you make, you know, whatever the reasoning is, that doesn't mean you're not paleo anymore. Like, that paleo is a way that you are choosing to eat. It is a label we apply to something random so that people can Google search term it. Like, it is not definition of who you are, and you are not either in the Paleo Club or out of the Paleo Club because you ate gluten-free pizza. Like, it is something that all of the people that I know within the community do. You know, the people that I know eat gluten-free Z pizza, they eat Jenny's ice cream, they eat things that aren't the best but are also not the worst. And other people I know, like, let's say Amy, for example. Amy doesn't have gluten intolerance. Like, crazy. I've seen it. I've seen her have a reaction to soy. She has very strong reaction to soy. She has no reaction to gluten. So Amy will sometimes make a choice, not often, to eat something with gluten. That doesn't mean that Amy isn't living a healthy lifestyle or that she can't be part of the paleo community anymore. It just means that she made a choice to eat a donut on vacation, and I'm totally jealous that she gets to make that choice. Like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, for me, I've said it before and I'll say it again, if our goal is to save the nation, if our goal is to, you know, improve the lives of the health of not just the nation, but the world, we are in a health crisis. We are reaching critical mass in terms of, you know, not enough food for some people, way too much food for other countries. We have, you know, in astronomical health prices, not just within the United States, but it's starting to spread to Europe and other countries who are adopting the way that we eat. We have all kinds of health problems that have never been documented in, you know, recent history, let alone ancient history. And if our goal is to help those people get better, then, as Rob Wolf said on my wall once when I posted a photo of us eating bunless burgers at Five Guys, do not let perfection be the enemy of good. And I think that's really, really powerful and important. Like, you know, you do good, you make good choices most of the time, 80%, if that's the number you want to go with from Mark's Daily Apple. And, you know,
that's also, by the way, when people, you know, get on their high horses about perfect paleo and that green beans are not paleo because they're legumes. And we should link to Mark Sisson's article on legumes with edible pods.
Yeah.
But Lauren Cordain introduced the idea of the 80-20 rule in the paleo diet. In his first book, he talks about, you know, starting with three meals a week that aren't paleo, and then when you get used to that, two meals a week that are, and where you're eating whatever you want, and then a maintenance of one meal a week that is whatever you want. And I mean, it was the cheat idea of cheat meals comes from Lauren Cordain.
Yeah. So, and I think what's important from what you said is that there are a lot of people who need help. There are a lot of people mm-hmm. who are sick and who are looking for something. And when they come to, you know, a Facebook page or a blog post with a comment thread, and there are people saying, this isn't paleo because it has honey in it. And this isn't paleo because it has green beans in it. And this isn't paleo because it has bell peppers in it. Those people who were on the edge of making a decision about whether or not they thought it was possible that their family could make this choice or that they themselves could make this choice, I know for a fact that many of them turn around right there and walk away because they say, I can't be perfect and therefore I won't even try. And I know that because I get tons of emails from people telling me all the time about how they really want to do it, but that they can't be perfect and they saw blah, blah, blah post or they saw blah, blah, blah comment and they just don't know how they could possibly make that happen in their lives. And part of what we spend a majority of our time doing is going back and explaining to these people about how you don't have to be perfect and you can do it in a phased approach and you can do it 80-20 and you can do all these things that we talk about and that, you know, eventually you just keep making better and better decisions and then it gets easier and easier and then you get to a place where, you know, you're able to sustain it to what everybody, what they themselves feel comfortable to. And I just think the part that gets me about these paleo perfectionists, and, you know, I'm sorry to take this negative, but they're just freaking hypocrites. Like, you know what I'm saying. I know you know what I'm saying. They are so ridiculously hypocritical that these people are the ones that go out on Friday night and have beer and pizza with their friends. Like, they, for the most part, these are not the people with serious health problems that have to regulate themselves to a completely restrictive diet the way that you and I have had to do at certain points in our life, and that there are people who have had to go even more strict than you and I have had to go, and that often, not often, but that some of these people need to do that for an extended amount of time or even a lifetime, because perhaps they have some disease or, you know, immune condition or, you know, whatever it is in their own life that prevents them from kind of, you know, breaking through some of these hurdles and occasionally having nuts or occasionally having seed-based spices or some of the things that we've been able to reincorporate back into mm-hmm. our lives to make us feel normal. Some of these people don't have that. These are the thing that gets me is that those aren't the people going around saying you're doing it wrong. Those are the people saying, wow, I think it's so great that you can have grass-fed heavy cream and your chicken liver mousse. I wish I could do that, right? Like, those are the decent, kind people. the people who are struggling the most are often the most empathetic and understanding. It's the people who are just jerks like that are the paleo perfectionists, and that's why when we call them paleo perfectionists or we call them paleo police, it's the attitude that we're also referring. It's this like holier than thou, you're not doing it right and I am kind of attitude that's so frustrating, because it's like nobody is perfect. Nobody can do this 100% of the time perfectly. And if you're on the computer, you're not paleo, okay? So like, just stop pretending that you are. Is that enough of a soapbox for you there, Sarah?
That went from definition to cover the whole topic. I guess, you know, I guess what our message really is twofold. One is not to let these very passionate and short-sighted people deter you from making healthy choices.
That was so much and, nicer than jerks.
I thought about it. I tried to. That took some effort. And don't let them intimidate you from experimenting on yourself and finding what works for you. And I think that, you know, for us, our main goal is for people to find a nutrient-dense diet that makes them feel great and that is sustainable. And whether that qualifies as a paleo diet, a lacto-paleo diet, a primal diet, whether that includes cheat meals or is super strict or includes paleo baking, whether it qualifies more as a traditional foods diet, the most important thing is to be eating the nutrition that your body needs to be healthy, and everybody's bodies are going to respond to different diets differently. So it's self-experimentation. Find what works for you, and that is something that you can sustain for your life. And for some people, that means finding the balance between what makes them feel the best and what actually fits into their life, so or what their bodies can tolerate, and finding that in between. And that's, I think, a level of experimentation that even the leaders within the paleo community are constantly playing with. It can be a moving target, because things like stress and lack of sleep can affect what your body can tolerate. And that's the goal. Being perfect is not the goal. Being healthy is the goal. And so, you know, the message number one is don't let these negative people intimidate you. But the other message is don't be one of them. And don't let your discovery of what works for you impact your ability to accept that something different might work for somebody else. And whether that's because their bodies tolerate different foods, or their body needs a stricter version, that they do better with a different macronutrient ratio, or that they literally, the only way that they can sustain this healthy diet is if they make room in their lives for treats. And there are people like that out there. That is a real thing. Not everybody does well on, well, I'm just not going to eat anything that ever looks like a treat ever again, and, you know, just ignore the Cinnabon when I walk through the airport. I mean, that just doesn't work for everybody. You know, some people, the sense of deprivation is overwhelming and they fall off the wagon. But if they make room for, well, I'm going to make muffins on Sundays with almond flour, and that's going to be my treat for the week, that suddenly makes a sustainable diet. That's awesome for them that they figured that out. So, you know, it's also, you know, don't be a person that lets your own experiences make you judgmental about the experiences that someone else is going through. You can always share your experiences and say, well, I found that this worked for me, but accept that that's not necessarily going to be the case for everybody. My husband and my kids do great with rice. And we've started incorporating, well, I've started incorporating because I'm the cook, more rice into their diets because they actually do better with it. And that doesn't mean that it's substituting other nutrient-dense foods. It means that, you know, they really are doing well with that extra starch. Rice is, you know, fairly easy to digest. There's tons of people who do well in rice. That's why it's a, you know, tenet within the perfect health diet. I can't touch rice. It gives me a horrible stomach ache. And so I don't eat it. And, you know, we have figured this out. And we are constantly experimenting to find the most nutrient-dense diet that works for us and that works for my growing kids and that works for my, you know, skinny husband. And so that's okay. I'm not going to, you know, tell them that they're not paleo because they're eating rice. I mean, I guess if I was going to be really technical, I'd say, well, they're a perfect health diet and not a paleo diet. But, you know, rice is becoming more and more embraced as a safe starch within the paleo community. And I think that it's a real shame that some leaders within this community feel that they have to rebrand paleo as paleo continues to evolve and incorporate the latest nutritional research and sometimes analysis of older research that just hasn't been done as we collectively try and figure out what an optimal human diet is, or at least what the framework is, and then allow for individual experimentation. I think that this desire to rebrand to make it more, you know, palatable for people, or to get away from really from paleo perfectionists and from some of the misconceptions that they propel about the paleo diet, I think is really sad. I think we've got, you know, a name, and it, to me, it doesn't matter what it is. We've got a name, and the great thing to me about the paleo diet is that it does reevaluate its stance on things as new science, you know, comes to light. So I think that I think we can call it paleo. Can't we call it paleo?
That was the number one search term in 2013, was reported by Google. I don't know if that's within the diet category, but I've seen it all over social media. Like,
so let's just roll with this momentum.
And that's the thing, is that's why there's a label. It's not because, like, you know, we all leaders in the movement came together and had a powwow meeting and were like, what are we going to call ourselves? Like, that's never happened. It just happened that Lauren Cordain's book, The Paleo Diet, and Rob Wolf studied with him and then came out with The Paleo Solution, and the movement behind Rob is really what propelled this community. As much as everybody has done so much to lay the groundwork, you know, Art
Devaney.
I was like, Art Vanney, that's not his name. Art Devaney.
Devaney.
Yeah. Art Devaney and Mark Sisson and Lauren Cordain. There have been Nora Gagaudis, a lot of early founding people in the ancestral health movement, but Rob Wolf's, you know, application and amazingly hilarious personality is what really propelled.
Let's face it. Yeah. It's holy cats is what
holy
has propelled
cats is
paleo.
Right. is what really kind of propelled this movement. And it would have been taking two steps back instead of forward to kind of rename and rebrand at one point. I know he talked about it in early podcasts that I used to listen to. People would ask a question like, do you think it's really a great idea, you know, with all the caveman images and references to Paleolithic time? Like, okay, the reference to Paleolithic time is because a lot of these theories and the science that we're using is based on ancestral anthropology, and the Paleolithic period was a period in time. It does not mean that we are trying to be Paleolithic people or cave people. And I think all people in the community know that, and nobody wants to be a caveman. And, you know, it is frustrating sometimes that is, you know, the Huffington Post paints the picture of paleo in that sort of light, and then we have to kind of defend ourselves and say, no, no, Stacey uses the hashtag more vegetables than a vegetarian for a reason. We aren't just eating, you know, meat only. But even if we, so that's the thing. Okay. So let's say you only eat vegetables, or let's say you only eat meat. Like, if that's how you choose to apply your paleo, like, those are still within a paleo framework, and you're doing, if you're doing what works for you, and that's, you know, whatever. I mean, I worry about your B12 and your iron if you're only eating vegetables, and I worry about, your, vitamins and minerals, right, if you're only eating meat. But, like, that's just how we've got to roll with this, because the movement and the momentum at this point is propelling so fast, and it's going so quickly. I think, you know, part of the problem with the community is that, unlike other movements that are kind of, you know, slow rolling and people have time to kind of do a lot of stuff to be prepared, like, it was an explosion that happened, and the reason that it exploded in a lot of people's opinions is because it works, right? Like,
it works, you try it, you don't stop,
right?
Because it's awesome.
It's really effective when you lose 100 pounds and regain your health, and, you know, you run into someone at the mall who stares at you for 20 minutes and is like, well, I mean, I just, have you changed your hair? What? And they can't figure it. And you're like, I've lost a lot of weight. I'm a lot healthier now. You look so much younger. Like, they just, anytime I go anywhere, it's like, what are you doing? Because you look amazing. And they can't even place what's different about me, because everything is different about me. My personality is more upbeat. My skin looks great. I've lost weight. Like, you know, and number one question is, what are you doing, and where can I find out more information? And that's why half of the friends that I have, my personal friends on Facebook, are now paleo. It's not because I peer pressured them into going paleo. It's because they saw how crazy awesome it was for me and my family, and they said, hey, let me try this for myself. And then it worked for them. And then they told a friend, and those people told a friend. And that is how...
It's because they drank the Kool-Aid.
And the, well, you know.
Except for it had no sugar and, right. And was full of vitamins and minerals and made them healthy.
Right. So I think you really eloquently summed up what I did not say eloquently.
You mean I soapboxed after I said that you had done a really good job covering the topic, and I had nothing else to say, and then I ranted for like 10 minutes.
Right. So I think what people are going to want to know, for us to like wrap this up, is some of the things, like you mentioned about how your husband and your kids eat rice. Like, I think that's really helpful for people to know what we personally indulge in sometimes. So I too eat white rice. I eat white rice usually with sushi, and I usually have sushi about once a week. It is my new favorite thing. And
I love sushi, but I basically stick with like, you just sashimi.
Yeah. But like, I have absolutely no problems with white rice if I'm eating it from like a quality place that I can trust hasn't put, you know, like something crazy. Because sometimes they put weird stuff in the sushi rice and whatever. But I don't have any problems with white rice, which is interesting because on the autoimmune protocol, grains are like completely off the list, but I really don't have inflammation problems. And I think part of that is because I'm eating it with seafood, which we've talked about before as being really nutrient dense. And I always eat some of the most nutrient dense seafood choices when I'm eating sushi, like the weird stuff. So I think that that's probably helping
the weird stuff.
I think that that's probably helping to balance any inflammation that my body might have had from white rice, but nevertheless, I don't have problems with it once a week. I've actually, over Christmas break, had sushi like 2 or 3 times in a 1 week period. And I did notice that I started to get like the carb bloat in my belly a little bit, just because I'm so sensitive to carbohydrates, refined carbohydrates. And I hadn't been working out, as I mentioned. So, but that had nothing to do with like inflammation. That has to do with me being previously metabolically broken. And I, sometimes, I don't know, maybe once or twice a month will eat out something that isn't paleo, but is gluten-free. So the boys get to choose from things like PF Chang's or gluten-free buns at Red Robin, or, Let's see, what else do we eat? Z Pizza, gluten-free pizza. What's really cool about them is that they have, like, this roasted garlic sauce, and Finn can eat that instead of tomato sauce on pizza, because he can't do tomatoes at all. And let's see. I don't know. I think, you know, there are some places that my family knows in the area that are gluten-free. Oh, we eat Peruvian chicken, and even though the fries, the yuca fries, are cooked in seed oil, we eat them, and we don't have any bad reactions from it. It's not something we do frequently. Sometimes I'll get lazy and I'll buy traditional mayonnaise. Like,
oh no!
No!
That has canola oil! Well, that was fine in the first edition of the Paleo Diet.
Well, you know what? You can just kick me out of the Paleo Club, call the Paleo Police. Like, and that's exactly what my point about this is. Like, is it the best choice? No. But my oldest son's, one of his favorite foods in the world is the tuna salad from Giant Grocery Store. Like, I don't even know. It's called Garden Tuna Salad, and it has carrots and celery and a bunch of vegetables in it, and it has tuna, and it uses conventional mayonnaise. And, like, that's one of his favorite foods in the world, is a tuna salad with vegetables in it. I am not going to tell him that he can't have it because it has canola oil. Like, it's just, I can't go there. And maybe some parents can. And if he had a bad reaction to it, I would definitely talk to him about, you know, do you think maybe that doesn't make you feel so great? But, like, you know, I believe that the inflammation that's caused by seed oils is something that kind of builds up over time. It's not like one exposure can cause detriment to you the way that if you're gluten intolerant, gluten exposure can.
Well, understanding what I understand about the roles that omega-3 and omega-6 fats have in the human body, that makes total sense. Just, I'm not going to explain it right now because we need to wrap up. But it makes total sense that if your overall diet is fairly well balanced with omega-3s and omega-6s, that you should be fairly resilient to an occasional influx of omega-6.
Yeah. And since he's eating it with tuna.
And getting the omega-3 at the same time. Right. Yeah. It's a lot more about balance than about...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that we eat. We do like to patron a local bakery here called the Happy Tart, which is an exclusive... gluten-free dedicated bakery, and they're very accommodating, and they're also really high in sugar. So that's where the boys like to get their birthday cakes from. You know, we used to make like paleo cupcakes and stuff, and sometimes we still do, but when it's like a birthday party with their friends, it's really nice for them to have like a store-bought looking cake. And those are the things that we do. It's not every day. It's not even every week. We try to eat at home as much as possible. We try to buy pastured farm-raised meat as much as possible. I think everybody knows that about me. That way, when we are out and we do, you know, get the boys love to get brisket from the Whole Foods counter. They have one, I think it's called garlic, that doesn't have like a soy sauce marinade. I don't worry about it because they're asking for meat. And like, if that, you know, like I think if you've reached a point where your kids' favorite foods are tuna salad and brisket from Whole Foods, trying to go much more perfectionist than that and saying, no, you can't have that because it has soy oil in its marinade is just, that's too far for me. Like, it doesn't bother my kids. It's not something that happens frequently. They've learned to, you know, they don't even want true junk food. Like, they much prefer, you know, healthy choices like that. Then I really feel like I would be doing them a disservice and disrespecting the good choices that they were making if I tried to be so perfectionist like that. So those are some of the things that we use as our 20%.
So my personal tolerance is very different from my family's because I have autoimmune disease, but I do have some non-paleo foods that I indulge in from time to time. The number one thing that I indulge in, let's say maybe like once every 2 weeks, is popcorn. I buy organic popcorn from a local farmer and I pop it on the stovetop in organic, ethical red palm oil from Tropical Traditions with Himalayan pink salt. And I tolerate it really well. Like, I feel fine. I feel fine when I eat it. I still don't eat it every day. But I feel fine when I eat it, and it's like one of my favorite foods ever. So it's like this huge treat. The kids get really excited, and we'll like share a bowl together, and it's, you know, one of my favorite foods, and I tolerate it really well. Once or twice a year, when I go to a movie, I get the junky popcorn at the movie theater, and that I usually still, even though it's not cooked in as good of fats and it's got whatever. I don't get the fake butter or anything. I just get it plain. But actually that I still tolerate really well. And like this coming from somebody who cannot accidentally eat a bite of tomatoes and spit it out because the amount that got into my system like has so much immune stimulating properties. I know really well where my lines are. My other cheats tend to be paleo foods that are not autoimmune protocol foods that I know I don't do very well with, but sometimes I eat dark chocolate. It gives me horrible acne, but I still do it anyways. I know. And I'm not even eating super dark. I eat 80%. Poof. I know.
I'm appalled.
Yeah, but I have to take paleo out of my website name now.
I can't co-host this podcast with you anymore.
I know. So, my kids, I already mentioned they eat rice. My oldest, we give her raw grass-fed cheese a couple times a week because she craves it. And I kind of feel like – and she seems to do really well with it. And she's not into a lot of the other sort of bone health foods that my youngest daughter eats. So I kind of feel like she could use the fat-soluble vitamins and minerals that are in that. So – she does really well with it. So she gets some grass-fed cheese, and then we have to like sterilize the entire kitchen so that my youngest daughter doesn't get exposed to a single molecule of casein, which is super fun. My kids get the occasional, you know, paleo baked good. We don't have them in the house all the time, but sometimes, especially if I'm working on a recipe where I got a cool idea for something and I'm working on it for the blog, we'll have it around. Often when I'm doing that kind of recipe testing, I throw stuff in the freezer or I give it away to neighbors or whoever comes to my house, but then maybe they'll come home from school and there will be, you know, a paleo cookie for them, for a treat instead of, they still have to finish their lunch. It's one of the rules, like afternoon snack is usually finish your lunch and then we talk about other foods. And they also get 80% chocolate. They think 80% chocolate is like a really super sweet treat. They get Lara bars or Clif Kit bars from time to time. When I am running short on time, it's a very common thing for me to throw into my kids' lunches for a snack.
Can I just have a little side tangent soapbox about this Lara bar situation? Have you mm-hmm. gotten all of these complaints as well? So if you are saying to someone who is eating a Lara bar that they are a bad person because they're supporting a company that promotes GMOs and they should be boycotting a company, I would say that you are being inappropriate. I would say that they are not interested in your boycotting of things, especially if they're not asking for your opinion. And that it would be a paleo-perfectionist type attitude to tell someone what they should or should not be doing in any scenario. So,
also, it's the parent company
right,
that's
supported. Right, and so I was just going to explain.
Crop 8 and...
Right, and it's also maybe because I come from a business world, I understand these kinds of things a little bit different about, you know, corporate culture and how profit works, but Lara Bar is still its own, like, wholly owned subsidiary company. They make their own money, they keep their own profits, they have their own tax identification number, and they are not then feeding back those profits in order for, like, their parent GMO company to do whatever it is they're doing. Like, they are their own unit. And so, and I also feel it's really important if you want a parent company to encourage and support the divisions that are doing the right things, I would think that that is where I would actually put my money in patron. Like, I choose to eat at Chipotle, and I choose to eat at a place called Elevation Burger, which does grass-fed meats because they are practicing business ethics that I support. And so if you want to tell an overall organization that you like what they're doing in one division, which is choosing organic and GMO-free because Larabar is, then patroning that would tell the larger company, hey, people like what we're doing over at Larabar. Maybe we should incorporate some of those things into our other divisions. But again, even if Larabar was using GMO nuts or whatever it is, telling someone they shouldn't eat it is still a paleo-perfectionist attitude. It would still be a paleo food that they have every right to eat. So sorry. The fact that you're saying
I talk about it as a treat, and it's like it's nuts even, it's and dates even, exactly. ground together.
I'm not
in
even calling
bar
it
20, form.
It's not even 20% in our house because those are whole food sources. Like that's paleo. Like I can make that myself if I wanted to, but I'm choosing to buy it in a package because it's often easier. Like
yes, I mean, and I do sometimes make it by myself, right. But sometimes I just don't have time, and it's in a wrapper and it's there. Okay, well, I actually consider this more sugar. I would really like it if they had fresh fruit and some, you know, like an apple and some almond butter to dip in. But, you know, that's just not the easiest thing to send to school sometimes. And especially for a snack that's in the classroom where it's not supposed to be messy. The other thing that my kids get that is definitely not paleo, we've got two gluten-free bakeries close to us that we really like. One has actually a paleo product line. They're called To Be Whole. They're a European-style gluten-free bakery. The other one is a gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, egg-free. It's like an allergy-free bakery called Gluten-Free Cutie. And we love them. They use a lot of rice flour, but a lot of like coconut oil and other great products, and they have like the most amazing cupcakes. And I don't know if James and Natalie listen to our show, but if they do, like, we love you guys. I'm sure we'll be there soon. And we go every couple of weeks. For a while we were trying to get my oldest daughter to read to herself for fun, and we were rewarding her when she finished a book by going to Gluten Free Cutie and getting a cupcake there. They also have a daughter who's in the shop who's the same age as my oldest daughter, and so it's like a play date when we go as well. And then my daughter started getting so good at reading that she was finishing a book like every week. So for a little while, we were literally going every week, and then we were like, hey, how about we do that every three books now? And we kind of pulled back because that was a bit much, just in terms of like the amount of sugar for my kids. But we love that. And you know what? Sometimes, even though rice gives me a really bad stomach ache, I might have one of their cupcakes, maybe once every 6 weeks or 7 weeks, because it gives me a stomach ache, but there's no other like lasting effects. So, you know, for me, I really understand what's going to say upset my stomach, but I'll get over it versus, you know, cause my autoimmune disease to flare. And so for me, there's like certain lines that I don't cross. But where I have a little bit more leniency, you know, I take advantage of it because I'm human, and sometimes a cupcake really makes my day feel better. I maybe that's the previously obese person in me talking, but you know, it's for me, it's a quality of life thing, and being able to have a treat. This isn't even like 80-20. This is like 99.9.1 because I have a treat like this every 6 weeks. But these are things that are important to me in my life that make this way of eating sustainable. And I know my lines, and I don't cross my lines. What else do we have? I think that's kind of it.
I washed down my gluten-free bakery cupcakes with some bone broth, and I'm good to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like to think that I'm an example of how to do this sustainably and how to do this with kids and to be realistic and to find balance. And balance doesn't mean 100% is not, there's no way 100% is balanced. Like in any definition of the word balance, you wouldn't say that doing something 100% of the time and doing the other stuff 0% of the time is balance. And unless you are...
It's just not sustainable. It's not. I mean, I don't care
unless
what someone thinks.
Unless you're unfortunate enough, and there are definitely people who have such violent reactions to non-paleo foods or non-autoimmune protocol foods that they just really don't have the luxury of doing that. And that's, you know, that there certainly are people that are like that, that are out there. And I was there at one point, and my heart goes out to them because that's a very frustrating place to be in where you don't have the luxury to stray. But, you know, that is a very different situation than somebody who is a perfectionist for the sake of the label.
Totes.
Is that what the young people are saying now?
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes, Sarah, where are you living? What rock are you in? So have you not seen the Sprint commercials? I think they're Sprint commercials with, like, James Earl Jones and the old white dude that plays Shakespeare movies. Gosh, I don't remember his name.
I love James Earl Jones, but I do not
terrible person.
I do not have cable television, so I watch everything streaming, and Hulu Plus has not shown me that commercial.
Okay, well, you need to, like, look that series of commercials up, because we have like, DVR, so we fast-forward commercials, but when those come on, I actually stop. They crack me
up. All right.
So it's, like, two of them standing on a stage, like, they're at some sort of theater, they're, like, wearing tuxedos, and James Earl Jones and this other guy are both, like, really refined in their accents or whatever, and they're, saying
James
things.
James Earl Jones is just refined.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's, like, saying things, and the other guy is talking as somebody else that two people would say to each other, like, via text messages or via Facebook or whatever, and they're, like, they say the hashtags out loud. So it's, like, hashtag totes adorbs, hashtags, other ridiculous things, and then the end of the commercial is, like, for all the important things that you do on our network. And it cracks me up. So, yes.
So I now know a little bit of, you know,
current modern culture.
Woohoo!
Have I mentioned before that this is, like, actually a college degree that I got? Like, I have a specialized English degree in cultural criticism. Like, this is how much I love pop culture.
I did not know that about you.
I did.
And yet it makes total sense.
Yep. Like, I have an English degree. It's a valid English degree. But my concentration was in cultural criticism, like, because I'm just fascinated by pop culture. And I, like, wrote everything on, like, modern stuff and dissected it. And I actually have a minor in women's studies. So what I did was a lot of crossover work. Like, I looked at media that, you know, portrayed women in bad ways and kind of dissected how those subliminal messages were getting through. And
so I'm going to say something that you will understand when you get to episode 5 of House of Cards.
I'm going to tie this all around.
I've been schooled.
All right.
You'll understand it in about 3 nights.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we've sufficiently blabbered enough in the beginning and then soapboxed enough in the rest of the show. If you didn't already know what Sarah and I's position was on paleo perfectionism and ADHD, I would be shocked. I think that everything that we've said is not going to surprise anyone, but I do hope that it makes people feel better. Because one of the things that I get a lot of questions about when, you know, I talk to people, specifically in person, is like, what do you guys really eat? You know, like, how often do you eat out? How often do you do gluten-free and blah, blah, blah? So hopefully this makes people feel better that, like...
Well, and hopefully it'll give people confidence to self-experiment, because that, I think, is the number one thing that we endorse.
Yes.
Is figuring out what works for you as an individual and, you know, taking everything else we say as a starting point or as a guide, but not as, you know, rules that must be followed.
Yes. One of the other things that I forgot that we really like to eat is pho. And again, because it's in broth... With the white rice noodles doesn't bother me. So, just random aside. Have a great night, Sarah. I will be speaking with you again next week with hopefully a special guest.
We will hopefully have recovered from her illness.
Yeah, our special guest that we had lined up for this week actually got, I think she said the flu.
The flu, yeah.
And she, like, emailed us to say, I have the flu. And then, like, literally that was the end of the email. And we emailed her back a couple of times to reschedule and haven't heard. So I'm hoping that she's, like, okay.
Yeah, knock on wood.
Yes. So, but that is a show that, like, Matt is really looking forward to. He thought that that's what we've been doing for the last 2 weeks. So when he found out that last week wasn't that guest and that this week wasn't that guest, he's kind of upset. So
I'm sorry, Matt, but soapboxes must be fun to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, people love it when we get ranty. Which really,
yeah.
You can just ask me anything and I'll get ranty.
This is true. I can vouch for that. Ranty or giggly.
Yes, or both.
So can I just finish the show on one last thing for all of our listeners?
Of course.
Happy New Year, everybody. we didn't say that at the beginning of the show. This is going to actually air like next year.
We're in the future right now.
We are in 2014.
All right. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. And we will be back next week, hopefully with a special guest you should look forward to.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
Did you hear my sister? When I was like, I will be back next week with a special guest, everyone, my sister goes, it's going to be me!